Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 to 16, the Good Shepherd. I, the Sovereign Lord, tell you that I myself will look for my sheep and take care of them, in the same way as shepherds take care of their own sheep that were scattered and brought together again. I will bring them back from all the places that they were scattered on that dark, disastrous day. I will take them out of foreign countries, gather them together and bring them back to their own land. I will lead them back to the mountains and the streams of Israel, and I will feed them in the pleasant pastures. I will let them graze in safety in the mountain meadows and the valleys and all the green pastures of the land of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will find them a place to rest. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. I will look for those that are lost and bring them back that have wandered off. Bandage those that are hurt and heal those that are sick. But those that are fat and strong I will destroy, because I am a shepherd who does what is right. And then verses 20 to 24. So now I, the Sovereign Lord, will tell you that I will judge between you strong sheep and the weak sheep. You pushed back the sick ones aside and butted them away from the flock. I will rescue my sheep and not them be mistreated any more. I will judge each of my sheep and separate the good from the bad. I will give them a king like my servant David to be their one shepherd, and he will take care of them. I, the Lord, will be their God, and a king like my servant David will be their ruler. I have spoken. Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, the final judgment. When the Son of Man comes as king, and all the angels with him, he will sit at his royal throne, and the people of all nations will be gathered before him. Then he will divide them into two groups, just as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. He will put the righteous people at his right and the others at his left. Then the king will say to the people on his right, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, come and possess the kingdom which has been prepared for you ever since the creation of the world. I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you received me in your homes, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me, in prison and you visited me." The righteous then answered him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty or give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger in homes, or naked and clothed you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison or visit you?" The king will reply, "I will tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of the followers of mine, you did it for me." Then he would say to the others on his left, "Away from me, you that are under God's curse, away to the eternal flame which has been prepared by the devils and angels. I was hungry, but you would not feed me, thirsty, but you would not give me a drink. I was a stranger, but you would not welcome me in your homes, naked, and you would not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, but you would not take care of me." Then they will answer him, "Lord, did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison? We will not help you." The king will reply, "I will tell you, whenever you refuse to help one of those least important ones, you refuse to help me. These then will be sent off to eternal punishment, but the righteous will go to eternal life."
So our theme this morning, judgment call. You know, our Old Testament, New Testament readings outline a duty of care, but it's not all one-sided. In Ezekiel, care is given and enacted by God to a vulnerable and hurting people in exile. And in Matthew, the challenge for God's people is to be God-like in caring and reaching out to the vulnerable and the exposed. And the readings also tell us that we are judged, not by others, not even really by God, but by our own actions or lack of them. You know, in the course of our lives, we determine which side of the divide we will be on by our attitudes to other people. And here Jesus simply points out the inevitable. We didn't read the story this morning, but you remember Cain's question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Now, that seems like a simple request, doesn't it, for information? But a closer look makes it clear that it isn't so. Cain challenged as to where his brother was, put the question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" It really amounts to an indignant protest, and it's really an outright rejection that he should be in any way responsible for his brother. His brother should be old enough to look after himself. But the Bible insists that we must face up to the fact of other people. And facing the fact of other people means that we can no longer wash our hands of them, family or not. We can no longer be content to just mind our own business. We must be prepared to accept some measure of responsibility for them. You recall, there's an old expression, isn't there? You know, "I'm all right, Jack." And it reflects an attitude as old as the human race. Well, Ezekiel condemned the Jewish leaders, Israel's kings and priests and prophets, of being bad shepherds of his, of God's people. You know, the people in exile then must have felt like scattered sheep. And no doubt they were blaming God for all that had happened, when in actual fact, they had brought it all on themselves. See, the leaders had failed the people of God. But it's not only the shepherd, the leaders of the people, who are to be judged. We're told in verse 16 that God will judge between his sheep, the fat ones and lean ones. And he will do so because the fat ones of his flock have been looking after themselves, have fed and watered themselves, but have spoiled what was available to others, who have become thin and malnourished. But Ezekiel went on to give them a wonderful picture of God. He was not a destroyer, but he was a loving shepherd. We see in that reading that God's moved by Israel's suffering. And the passage tells us that he came to rescue and restore the lost, the thin and the malnourished and the vulnerable or misplaced sheep. God is the true shepherd. He will bring an end to the exile and bring those in exile to their homeland. Israel will become once again the people of God, gathered round the temple as its beating heart and the sign of God's presence. Well, for Christians, this story, Ezekiel, foreshadows Jesus as the promised shepherd from the line of David, the Messiah, whose birth we shall be celebrating very shortly. And so, in Ezekiel, we see God accepting his responsibility to his people, despite everything. Now, reading from Matthew's Gospel contains the parable of the sheep and goats, which challenges and calls God's people to be like God, to accept their responsibilities in caring and reaching out to the vulnerable and the exposed, and not just those closest to them, but to all God's people. And Jesus makes no secret of the fact that people and their needs are our responsibility, and that we shrink it at our peril. The lesson is forcibly shown in the picture of the final judgment that we read this morning. The parable of the sheep and goats clearly says that there will be judgment, and therefore all will be held accountable for the way they live. Now that reading from Matthew's Gospel, the people who are commended are the people who have recognised that the hungry and the thirsty, the sick and naked, the stranger and the prisoner were their responsibility. Whereas the people who are condemned are those who, when confronted with the same people in their needs, did not. And so the Bible leaves us in no doubt that facing the fact of other people means recognising, amongst other things, that we do have a responsibility for them. Matthew 25, verse 40. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did for me. Well, at this time of the year, we receive through the post requests for money to feed the hungry, to provide water for the thirsty, to help those without clothes, without homes, those in prison maybe, perhaps for their faith. And there are appeals seeking help for the blind, deaf, for old and young in need, wherever they may be, at home or in far-off lands. But we're not able to help all good causes. You know, they far exceed any individual's ability to meet them. So we shouldn't feel guilty for not meeting them. But on the other hand, we must avoid pointing to our inability to meet all needs as an excuse for failing to meet some. Listen to words by Mother Teresa. If you are kind, people will accuse you of selfish motives. Be kind anyway. If you're successful, you'll win both false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. What you spend years building, someone may destroy overnight. Build anyway. The good you do today, most people will forget. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them, between you and them anyway. Now, I wonder how well you know the people around you, neighbours, postmen, person at the supermarket, checkout, etc. Now, in life, we meet many different people, and they are all important and deserve our attention, even if we just say hello and smile. Now, when the disciples asked the question, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or homeless, sick or in prison and didn't help? And Jesus replies, you recall, whenever you failed to do these things to someone, whenever you overlooked or ignored them, that was me. You failed to do it to me. And in 1 John chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18, rich people who see a brother or sister in need, yet close their hearts against them, cannot claim that they love God. The biblical worldview is about community and interdependence, whereas the worldview of most, if not all, developed nations today seems to have been increasingly about individualistic approach. Now, Paul writes to James. He says this: suppose there are brothers or sisters who need clothes and don't have enough to eat. What good is there in your saying to them, God bless you, keep warm and eat well, if you don't give them the necessities of life? So it is with faith. If it is alone and includes no action, then it is dead. But some will say, one person has faith, another actions. My answer is, show me how anyone can have faith without actions. I will show you my faith by my actions. See, we show by actions that we are concerned for material things. When people lack the material things of life, food, clothing, or housing, we can't sit back and say that it is none of our business. It would be wrong to assume that our responsibility begins and ends when we pay our rates and our taxes and thereby contribute to the welfare services. Because there are those whose needs cannot be fully met by the welfare state and its services. And that's, of course, why churches support food banks, supper for the homeless, night shelter, etc. For those whose needs cannot be met locally, nationally, and worldwide, and there are many millions, they must be our concern. We show by our actions that we are concerned for the material well-being of people. Now, Ezekiel speaks of his servant being a prince among. Jesus came among us as one of us. And if we are truly alongside people, we will see their immediate needs. On the other hand, if we maintain a distance, seeking to address their needs from a distance. On the other hand, if we maintain a distance, seeking to address their needs from a distance, we might miss them. Looking from afar, people's needs may appear small, our needs at first hand. And we need to find ways to get alongside and among people in order to see their needs at first hand. So we show concern for the material things of life. But we also show our concern for the spiritual well-being of people. That, after all, is why we build churches at home and abroad, send missionaries abroad. We recognise that the good news about Jesus is of such vital importance that we, who have heard it, have a responsibility to share it around so that others may benefit from it. When Jesus, the Son of Man, returns, he will no doubt be expecting to find a people gathered in his name whose love of God is evident in their relationship with all people. We, God's people, are challenged to be like God in caring and reaching out to a world in need. And self-giving generosity is the foundation for the judgment call. And importantly, like the characters that we have read about, we are to be judged not by Jesus, but by our own actions. The judgment lies in the decisions that we make in our own lives. Amen.